Good evening and welcome to our service this evening and our Bible study together. Recently, I have been preaching on Sunday night some lessons I hope to encourage our young people here at Warfield Boulevard. And some are home from college during this winter break, and I get an opportunity to speak with them. And so I wanted to use this opportunity to bring another lesson tonight from God's Word to encourage our young people. Our first lesson in this series dealt with encouraging our young people to stand on their own two spiritual feet. And then we looked at, in a second lesson, about why we are losing our young people and what we can do about that. Tonight, I want to talk about something from God's Word that is very important for our young people to understand, and that is the importance of holding fast the pattern of sound words, holding fast the pattern of God's Word. The reason I believe that that is fundamental and foundational for our young people is that when they leave home, they are going to be put in a position and in a situation where they are going to hold on to the pattern of God's Word or they're not. And it's tantamount to them to hold on to that pattern in order to be right with God. You see, we know that older brethren are passing away. They're dying. And who is going to continue being that New Testament Christian that follows the New Testament pattern? Well, it's going to be our young people. And so this is very important for them to understand the necessity and the importance of holding on to the pattern, the blueprint, the divine recipe, if you will, for Christian living, to hold on to that and not let that go. It's easy to do that. When you leave home, there are different forces, and we'll be talking about that later in the lesson. Different forces work against our young people, and the pattern slowly slips away from them if they're not careful. And so I hope that our lesson this evening will be beneficial. If you'd like to turn in your Bible this evening to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we will begin there this evening. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. You know, when you look through the Word of God, both in the Old and New Testament, you find often that when there is one generation passing from the scene and another generation taking over, that often the discussion is holding on to God's Word. And you'll find that when Moses passes away and passes the baton, so to speak, to Joshua. We're going to see it this evening when David is passing away. He's going to pass that on to Solomon. We find that in the New Testament with regard to Jesus ascending back into heaven and sending his apostles out into all the world. And in John chapter 14 through 17, there's an importance on holding on to the truth of the words of the Holy Spirit after Jesus leaves. We find it, as we're going to see this evening, with Paul, the aged apostle, when he is coming down toward the end of his life and he has a chance to talk to young Timothy. He says, hold fast the pattern. You see, you find that in both the Old and New Testament, and there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. That is fundamental. When one generation passes from the scene, to talk with the next generation about holding on to the Word of God. That is what makes them faithful, of course, when that older generation passes away. So that's really what we have in tonight's lesson. This idea that when you look around, you're going to see one day older brethren are going to be gone. Will the next generation take up the spiritual baton in the Christian race? And will they continue to carry on God's Word? That's what it's all about this evening. And so to our young people, I encourage you to hold fast the pattern of sound words. This idea of blueprint and pattern, of course, if you know your Old Testament, it shows up in the book of Exodus that the Israelites were to build the tabernacle according to the pattern That word pattern is actually used in the book of Exodus for the tabernacle, and it's repeated in the book of Hebrews that the Israelites were to build the tabernacle according to the pattern. Before we read 1 Chronicles 28, and then we're going to be jumping over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, before we read those passages, I just want to ask the question this evening, why is it that God gives us a pattern? Why have a pattern of anything? Why have a blueprint or a pattern for the tabernacle in the Old Testament and the temple and then the New Testament church? Why have a pattern? Let's explore that a little bit before we get into some of our Bible material. Well, I can think of four reasons that I want to share with you this evening as to why God gives us a pattern. The first reason is God gives us a pattern because He wants our service to Him to be about Him. You see, the pattern is a divine pattern. It comes from God. It shows what God wants in our life. When we follow the pattern, we're doing what God wants. We're worshiping the way He wants to be worshiped. And that's important. We are very familiar with John 4:24, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And He's seeking certain kinds of worshipers. Well, if we follow the pattern, we're doing what God wants rather than what we want. As we go through life, we can have a religious experience and we can be a member of a church and we can be religious and that type of thing, pray and read our Bible. But we may be doing what we want. It may be will worship, Colossians chapter 2. It may be ignorant worship, Acts 17. It may be vain worship, Matthew 15. It's worship, but it's not the kind that God wants. So when we follow a pattern, we're doing what God wants us to do, not what we want. And that's very important. If our mother passes on a recipe and we want to taste that food or that dessert the way our mother made it, when we follow our mother's recipe, we're making it the way she would want it made, not the way we want it made. And so a pattern shows us what God wants, and that's what's important in life ultimately. Number two, a pattern, and closely related to the first point, a pattern is an occasion and it becomes a test of faith. Are we going to follow this or not? Are we going to walk by faith or are we going to walk by sight? Faith comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10:17. Are we going to walk by faith? It becomes a test of our faith. And that has happened all the way down through time, starting with Cain and Abel and their worship all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. Abel offered up worship by faith. Cain did not. So when we follow the pattern, not only are we doing what God wants, but it's a test to see if we will do what God wants. It's an occasion to see if we will remain faithful to Him or not, or will we walk by our own ways and opinions and ideas. Number three, a divine pattern allows God's way to be repeated down through time. How is it that we can have a New Testament church today in the 21st century, some 2,000 years after Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," Matthew 16:18. How can we have that all the way down today? The divine pattern. The pattern doesn't change, and it's always there in the Bible. And so God's ways can always be repeated over and over again every year as the Israelites in the Old Testament continue to build that tabernacle and then later the temple. And the New Testament Christians being members of the church, it doesn't matter the passing of time, God's way can always be repeated. Stop and think about, for example, the Israelites marching through the wilderness with that tabernacle. How was it that each year that they got that set up just the way God wanted them to set that up? They had a pattern. then the next year that went by and they moved a little farther and they were in some other place, they could reproduce it exactly the way that God wanted them to do that. And so today we can have the New Testament church right here in Clarksville and many other places around the world. It can be repeated today because we have a pattern to look at, follow in detail, and we have exactly what God wants each year down through the passing of time. And then last of all, a pattern, again related to this previous point, it allows for there to be a restoration and a return when necessary. Let's say that we are 2,000 years separated from the first century. And let's say today there were some individuals who were dissatisfied with just religion in general. They wanted to be a true New Testament Christian. Where would they go to learn how to restore what is going on? To return to God's way? Man has lost his way and confused things with all kinds of religious division and creeds and councils. And if somebody wanted to cut through that and get all the way back to the way things needed to be, how could they do that? Well, a divine pattern that never changes allows them to do that. And we have examples of that, for example, in the Old Testament. There were times in the periods of the kings when God's people realized that they were sinning and that they had strayed from the law of Moses. And I'm thinking in particular about the reforms of Hezekiah and then later Josiah. And they're not the only ones. There were others who wanted to repair the temple. Well, what are we to repair it back to? How are we to repair the temple? How are we to restore the Passover that's been neglected? Well, these men read the law. In the case of Josiah, we know that the law had been lost in the house of God, and they find it, the scroll, they read it. And Josiah wants to, based upon that reading of the pattern, come back to the law of Moses. And so it allows us to return and restore things when necessary. So we see the divine wisdom in giving us a pattern. Now to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and our young people. I want you to consider, young people, the importance of holding on to that pattern. And when we as an older generation want to pass that on to you, your parents are wanting to pass that on to you, I certainly am. The elders here, the godly brethren that are around you, try to pass that on to you. It is our earnest desire that you will accept that and carry that with you and hold on to that. And I just want to look at an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. David passed on the pattern to Solomon. In this case, the pattern of the building of the temple. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, David had assembled all the princes of Israel, and now he's speaking specifically to his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9, Solomon, my son, know that thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for Jehovah searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for Jehovah has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch of the temple. Underscore that in your Bible, the pattern. And of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper rooms thereof, and of the inner chambers thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. I want you to underscore that in your Bible, that we have a pattern, but it wasn't David's opinions or think-sos. He didn't sit down and draw out a blueprint on his own. This came from the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word given to David. It's a divine blueprint. It's a divine pattern. So the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit for the courts of the house of Jehovah and for all the chambers round about, for the treasuries of the house of God and for the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of Jehovah and for all the vessels of service in the house of Jehovah. Notice the details. And we're just reading a small section here. If you were to go on and read chapter 29 and earlier chapters, you'll find quite a number of details in this pattern. Many, many aspects of the temple proper, its own building, and the service inside of it. It was all covered by the divine pattern, down to the details. Verse 14, of gold by weight for the vessels of gold, for all vessels of every kind of service, of silver for all vessels of silver by weight, for all vessels of every kind of service by weight, also for the candlestick of gold and for the lamps thereof and of gold, by weight for every candlestick and for lamps thereof and for the candlesticks of silver. Silver by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And the gold by weight for the tables of showbread, for every table of silver, for the tables of silver. And the flesh hooks and the basins and the cups of pure gold, and for the golden bowls by weight for every bowl, and for the silver bowls by weight for every bowl. And for the altar of incense refined by gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot, even the cherubim that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of Jehovah. All this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for Jehovah God, even my God, is with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until all the work for the service of the house of Jehovah be finished. And behold, there are the courses of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee in all manner of work every willing man that hath skill for any manner of service. Also the captains and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. If you start there in verse 21 and just back your way up, you'll notice some important lessons that Solomon is to go out and build this, and there's going to be a lot of skilled individuals, but they have to follow the pattern. You know, today, young people, there are a lot of religious people that'll make the point in various denominations that it really doesn't matter what the New Testament teaches about this or that. As long as a person has a talent to do this, and if they have a skill to do this, it's okay. And so a woman might have a skill to stand up and be a preacher, and that's okay. Or people might have a skill to stand up and sing a solo, and that would be okay. Notice in verse 21, verse 20 and 21, there are going to be people who are going to be helping Solomon, and they are going to be skilled individuals, but they have to follow the pattern that is laid down by God. So it's not just skill, it's skill and talent plus following the pattern of God's Word. So a woman might have a skill to be a preacher, but that's not according to the pattern. And an individual might have the skill to sing a solo, but that's not according to the pattern. So notice that. Also notice that in verse 20, David said to be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be dismayed. A part of spiritual strength is to hold fast the pattern. Don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful of what people around you are going to be saying when you're out on your own. There's going to come a time when you may not be in what we call the home congregation. Your education and your college experience will cause you to move away. Your work might cause you to move away. You might not be with mom and dad the rest of your life. And you're going to be out on your own somewhere. Will you be following the New Testament pattern of the church? Will you seek out a church of Christ that is according to the New Testament pattern? Or will you start one yourself? You might be in a situation where you and some other Christians can start a small local congregation But will you hold fast the pattern? I want to encourage you to do that. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. There are going to come times that will test you. But work through that and hold fast the pattern. And then notice in verse 20, for Jehovah God, even my God, is with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We have that promise of God being on our side, but it's conditioned upon us following his pattern. When we don't, then he will forsake us. He will not be with us. And then last of all, notice in verse 19, as we've mentioned before, David gave the pattern. He said, I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah, even all the works of this pattern. It's from God. It's a divine pattern. It's been written down so that it can be read later. And David says, I have been made to understand. We'll make this point in just a minute, that we need to understand what that pattern is. We need to know what that pattern is. So a great example here of one generation encouraging the next generation to hold fast the pattern. Then come with me to the New Testament example that I wanted to look at with regard to Paul as he is coming down toward the close of his life, and he writes 2 Timothy, which may have been one of his last epistles that he wrote, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, as he writes to Timothy, hold the pattern of sound words, healthy, spiritually healthy words, which thou hast heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, guard through the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. So he says, hold the pattern of sound words. The sound words, of course, are the New Testament gospel, Matthew through Revelation. Number one, hold on to that. You've got to hold firmly. Don't let it slip through your grasp. And it is the pattern of sound words, which is the gospel. And then notice this, which you have heard from me. That's very important. This is stressing the apostolic authority of Paul. He got it straight from Jesus. He tells us that in Galatians chapter 1. His words were the very words of Christ. And so he's passing on the words of Christ to Timothy. And then notice what he says, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. We have to have faith and love for this pattern. So what we're looking at is the importance of holding on in that next generation to the pattern of God's Word. Well, what would that New Testament Bible pattern be? Well, I can think of a few things. First of all, the plan of salvation. To hear the gospel and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To repent of our sins, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to be baptized for the remission of our sins, to live faithfully thereafter. The plan of salvation is a pattern. And if we're an erring Christian, the pattern is to confess our sins and repent and pray for forgiveness. Acts chapter 8 and also 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9. The plan of salvation is a pattern that I want you to hold on to. That's constantly being changed in the religious world today. The one true church. There is one true New Testament group of Christians that we need to pattern our lives after. Not the many denominations that came hundreds of years later. But that one body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. The work and worship of the church. The New Testament church evangelized the lost and edified the saved, and were benevolent toward needy saints. They didn't engage in any kind of social or recreational work like you see today. They didn't engage in any kind of political work or education and social reform and poverty reform and that type of thing. They limited to those three things of evangelism, edification, and benevolence. That's a pattern, and I would encourage you never to change that. And the worship of the church. the New Testament Christians gathered together on the first day of the week and on other occasions to sing unaccompanied by instruments, just a cappella singing, to pray together, to read and study Scripture together, to take the Lord's Supper and to contribute on the first day of the week. That's a pattern, and I would encourage you to hold on to that. Daily Christian living, good, moral, ethical Christian living that is described in the New Testament. How you're to talk and how you're to dress and how you're to think. Think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. Different good and holy things to think about. All of that dealing with daily living. Marriage is covered in the New Testament. One man, one woman for life. The idea of raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to be obedient and to be honoring and to be God-fearing, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Anything dealing with daily Christian living, things involving our work, employment, is covered in the New Testament. How to serve our government is in the New Testament. The local church, how to be a Christian in the local church, home and family. These things are a pattern. I would encourage you to hold on to them. What we find today, young people, is that it's easy to get your eyes off of the New Testament pattern and to start looking at something else. And you see something else that catches your eye, something else that is glamorous and glittering, and it's called religion. And you get excited about that, and you see people engaged in that, and you begin to follow that man-made pattern rather than the divine pattern. And that reminds me, if you'll turn in your Bible this evening to 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 10. 2 Kings 16 and verse 10. It reminds me of the reign of King Ahaz. And Syria and Israel was going up against King Ahaz, king of Judah. And he needed some help. He wanted some help. And so he tried to call on the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, to come and help him. And he did that rather than trusting in God and calling upon God for help, as God had helped the kings all through time. He chose to go to a man-made help of the king of Assyria. Well, on one occasion in 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 10, Ahaz decides to go to Damascus and meet the king of Assyria. And let's look at what takes place there. 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 10. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw the altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. This is not God's altar in the temple. This is not the tabernacle pattern. This is not the temple pattern. This is just a man-made altar up in Damascus that some men had built for religious purposes. Ahaz sees that. He likes the look of it. He likes the shape and the size and the way it looks, and he wants something like that for him. And young people, that's what happens today. You get out on your own, you'll see some things that you've not seen before. You'll experience some things that you've never experienced. You'll hear some things that you've never heard before. And it's like Ahaz looking at this man-made altar slash pattern and wanting that for himself. Be very careful not to do that. So he has this altar duplicated for himself. He takes note of it, and he wants it built just like that. So verse 11, and Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that the king Ahaz had sent from Damascus. It's almost like you can see Ahaz just taking a piece of paper and writing, you know, it looks this way and it's shaped this way and it's this size and it's this length and it's this height and it's this breadth, and I want you to make it look just like that. Studying a worldly man-made pattern and then copying that. Verse 11, so did Urijah the priest make it against the coming of the king Ahaz from Damascus. I want to see this when I get back. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king drew near unto the altar and offered thereon. And he burnt his burnt offering and his meal offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering upon the altar. This is the man-made altar. This is the man-made pattern. And how quickly Ahaz comes back and substitutes the man-made pattern for the divine pattern. Verse 14, and the brazen altar which was before Jehovah, he brought from the forefront of the house, from between his altar and the house of Jehovah, and put it on the north side of his altar. So the very altar that was to be built by God's pattern, he moves it out of the way. And that's what's going to happen. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my own family. I've seen it happen other places where young people, often in their 20s, they get out on their own. They see some new things and they want that, and they have that for themselves, and they shove God's pattern aside in their lives. Verse 15, and King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening burnt offering and the king's burnt offering and his meal offering with the burnt offering of all the people of the land and their meal offering and the drink offering, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offerings and all the blood of the sacrifice. But the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded. It becomes a substitute. God's altar gets shoved off to the side. Ahaz continues to use it for his own personal inquiring. But the sacrifices are now going to be on this man-made pattern of an altar. Be very careful not to do that. You may go out in life and you may have personal desires that will cause you to forsake the pattern of sound words, but don't do that. You might have close relationships. You might have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you might be dating someone, and in the process of talking about those kinds of things with them, you may be tempted to forsake the divine pattern. I've seen this happen before where people will change the plan of salvation or things about marriage because they're dating someone who has different beliefs about those kinds of things. You've got to be very careful about that. I've seen where school and work can cause a young person to forsake the pattern. I've seen human philosophies that they learn in school or from their friends or somewhere on the internet that cause them to forsake the divine pattern. I've seen where young Christians will have denominational friends, which is fine, but they allow those denominational friends to teach them denominational ways, and so they forsake the divine pattern. And I've seen this happen where just freedom itself causes a young person to forsake the divine pattern. When you get away from your parents, you'll have more freedom. You'll have more choices. You can do some things for yourself. And sometimes people will take that newfound freedom and cause them, like the prodigal son, to leave home and go and do things that they shouldn't do. Don't allow freedom to cause you to forsake the divine pattern. Stay within that divine pattern with the freedom that you have. And sometimes I've seen where just the simple passing of time can cause you to forsake the pattern. Each year that goes by, the older and older you get, the farther and farther you get away from the divine pattern. So be very careful about those kinds of things. Don't be like Ahaz and go somewhere else and see a pattern and start letting that be your way that you have a relationship with God. Stick with the divine pattern. Well, before we close this evening, turn back with me to 2 Timothy. I just wanted to stay within the book of 2 Timothy as we close this evening for just a few observations. I want to mention just 10 things briefly this evening within 2 Timothy that will help us and encourage us to hold fast the pattern of sound words. First of all, number one, you need to believe that it actually is a pattern. That's what the verse says, 2 Timothy 1:13. It is a pattern. Some people say, no, it's not a pattern. It is. That's what that means. And we need to believe that and understand that. And don't let anybody tell us otherwise. It is a pattern. There are even some members of Churches of Christ that say the New Testament is not a pattern, when this verse clearly says it is. So we have, number one, we have to believe that it actually is a pattern. Number two, we need to have love for it. Did you notice in verse 13 that you're to hold fast this pattern? In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You have to have faith that it is a pattern. You have to believe that, and you have to love that. It's not just simply because I'm preaching on these matters or your parents would like for you. You have to personally love that pattern that Jesus died for. By the way, that pattern, that blueprint is expensive. You know, some people who will pay an architect to draw up a pattern or a blueprint, they'll spend thousands of dollars. This pattern that you hold in your hands is expensive. It cost Jesus his own life and blood on the cross. So love it with all of your heart. You have to know what it is. In chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says to study, to give diligence or study to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. You need to read and study and learn this pattern. You can't hold on to something if you don't know what it is that you're holding on to. That's why daily Bible reading, good Bible classes, your own personal study, you're learning what that pattern is. You know what it is and you know what to hold on to. Practice it in your life. One of the best ways to hold on to something is to personally practice it. And so in chapter 3 and verse 10, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience. Just go out and practice it every day. And you know what? It's easy to hold on to something that you personally use regularly every day. Number 5, accept that the pattern is complete. Don't let somebody come along and say, well, there's more to the pattern, latter-day revelations and other ideas. No, it's complete. In chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. Look at this, that the man of God, that's you, may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. You don't need anything else but your New Testament scripture. Number 6, reject what is not in the pattern. Anytime you hear something, and it doesn't matter where it's coming from, even if it's coming from someone who claims to be in a Church of Christ, reject that. Say, that's not in the New Testament. In chapter 2 and verse 16, shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness. And there's other passages here where Paul talks about staying away from things that are not the Word of God. Reject what is not in the pattern. Number 7, pass on the pattern to others. It's like practicing it yourself. If you will teach it to others, it will become ingrained in you and embedded in you, and you'll find that easier to hold on to. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. The things which you have heard from me, that's the pattern, among many witnesses, the same, don't change it, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. As you talk with other people about the pattern, it becomes a commitment to you. So, personal work, talking with the lost, talking with another member of the church, talking with a friend, a companion, teaching Bible class. One of the great ways to commit this to your life for the next generation is to be an active member in a local church and teach a Bible class. You might start with some of the young people and then work up some, you young men, work up to teaching the adult Bible class. But teach it to others, and it will be something that you will commit to your own life. Number 8, correct those who leave the pattern. When somebody is not following the pattern, look at chapter 2, verse 24, and the Lord's servant, that's you, must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness correcting them that oppose themselves. Correct anyone. Try to bring them back to the truth, the knowledge of the truth, verse 25. Try to bring them back to that pattern. That'll help you to hold on to it. If you're practicing it yourself, if you're teaching it to others, if you're trying to bring people back to that pattern, you're likely going to hold on to that your entire life. It's a personal part of your life. Number 9, never be ashamed of the pattern. Chapter 1 and verse 8, be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord. That's the pattern. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God. Hold your head high. What you're holding on to is the New Testament gospel pattern. And don't you ever be ashamed of that. Don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. Be strong. Hold your head spiritually high and never be ashamed. And then number 10, return to the pattern if you leave it. You know, the prodigal son knew where and how to come home. And if you were to mess up in some way and leave that pattern, I want you to know that you can come back and God will receive you back. He wants you to return. Paul talks about in chapter 1 and verse 15, Phygellus and Hermogenes, they had left the pattern. In chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. In chapter 4 and verse 16, others had forsaken Paul. He talks about individuals who left the truth. And that happens from time to time. But I want you to know that you can always come back. Well, I appreciate your time this evening. I'm glad we've had an opportunity to study from God's Word. From one generation to the next, from me to you, let me say to our young people here this evening that are studying with us, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Carry that with you through life, and it will keep you committed to the Lord all the way to heaven. Thank you for studying this evening, and we will stand and sing our song of invitation.